Hey, listeners, did you know that Yogi Triathlete offers endurance coaching for body and mind? We offer personalized training plans for endurance sports, wellness and mindset, nutrition and recovery guidance, and race preparation and strategy, all within the supportive community of Team Yogi Triathlete. So if you're ready to conquer your fitness goals and push your limits, our endurance coaches are ready to guide you on the journey to peak performance. Go to yogitriathlete.com today to set up your free 30-minute discovery call and embrace a future of strength, stamina, and achievement. Your goals, our experience, the perfect match for unstoppable success.
So you had hesitation, though, when this trip was asked if you wanted to take it over, and you still said yes.
Course.
To be the retreat leader, of course. But what was involved in that decision process, as quick as it was, what was it?
That when life gives you an opportunity like this, you do not say no. I mean, that's how simple it was. There was so much unknown, but the decision was so easy and it was so quick and it was an absolute yes because I could feel something really strong. It was like 9 months ago. And over this past 9 months, I've had thoughts of like, well, maybe that strong feeling is like, this is it. Like, I'm going to die there. You know, that thought, like, and be okay with that. And maybe it's that I'm going to go there and I'm going to discover something about myself. I'm going to learn and grow and really enjoy myself. Okay, well, that's good too. Like, whatever it is, I'm willing to walk what I need to walk in order to fulfill what I'm here to fulfill. And I don't know, today could be the last day of my life. I don't know that. So whether I'm doing that in Carlsbad or I'm doing that on the Fuda, it's still life. And it's always going to call you to more if you're open to it. Welcome to the Yogi Triathlete Podcast. We are Jess and BJ, and we're co-founders here at Yogi Triathlete, which is an endurance wellness coaching company based in Carlsbad, California. So we come together once a month to answer your questions, dish on life and things that we're moving through. But first, we're going to dive into season opener of Triathlon, which is coming up, Oceanside 70.3. And what are we, Beach, like less than 4 weeks out from that race?
Yeah, about 3.5 weeks. And it's coming fast.
You're racing. So
I'm racing.
Like, when I bring this into the conversation, what comes up for you?
Well, what comes up is I've got Texas is number one priority. So I'm not even thinking about Oceanside, to be honest. Like, I'm thinking about it in terms of I'm excited to race with some of our athletes and be out on that course, which is just up the street from us, and to kick it off with, oh my God, an amazing, stellar professional field in the start of the professional tri-series, Ironman Pro tri-series, which is pretty cool. So yeah, I'm excited about that. And also Matty Whites. I mean, we just did a podcast with him and he's going to be here coming over from Finland. So it's a good time to, as you stated in the opening, like, we're in Carlsbad, which is the town just below Oceanside. So we know a lot of the people and the community, and it's a great time to reconnect and be out there and kind of see people at registration, on the race course, after, at awards. It's a great community kickoff for the season. It's fun to play in that focus. Like, where is the focus for me? Like, where is the focus? And not get caught up in, like, I need to race Oceanside too. Like, I need to do that too. And then I need to do these other races.
Yeah, but I mean, you're going to race it. It's not like you're just going to participate.
Sure.
So how does that look for you? Does it look that like you're just not going to taper down for it?
I'll taper the week of. I'll take training down a little bit. That's my goal. Because I also don't want to do it. You know,
you going to come in like a little hot?
Come in a little hot. But also the training has looked different. You know, the training's looked a little bit different. I'm not doing as much speed or Ironman 70.3 specific work as I'm doing for Ironman, but you know, this should translate. It shouldn't be too far off in my mind. So we'll see how it all plays out. I'm just excited to race. Like, it's been a while.
When was your last race?
Santa Cruz last September.
Yeah.
So a long time. And yeah. And I love Oceanside. I love the course. I really do. And it's good. We're going to have, Brendan coming out from Rhode Island to do his first 70.3.
What a great first 70.3. It's such an incredible course. I honestly was about to pull the trigger like back in the fall, but I knew that I had, you know, retreat. I had something interesting happen in August where I nailed the bone of my ankle into the corner of the bed and had no repercussions for like months. And then like in October, started to have a lot of pain. And so, and that was that happened like right at the same time that I was like going to pull the trigger, but I just kept thinking like, I'm going to Patagonia and I'm going to come back. Like I've got this other retreat in February, the women's retreat. And, you know, I don't know, there was something about it. Like you get that emotional thing, like, I want to be a part of this. But then there was this part of me that was like, pump the brakes. And right after I kind of decided like, okay, I'm not going to sign up. Like the next day I started to feel this deep pain in this bone, which has been an interesting thing to navigate. And, you know, I've had an X-ray and two doctors and a radiologist looked at it and they said there was nothing broken, but it had taken a long time to heal. But actually just coming back from Patagonia, I told you, like, I feel like I had some kind of like miracle healing. It just, whatever it was, the magic of the river, maybe, I feel really good now. So ready to get charged up for my first 70.3, which will be in July, but Oceanside being right around the corner, I'm really excited. It's, I feel like for me, even though I'm just going to be spectating, it's going to give me that bump to jump back into that role because I haven't been running. I've been really focused on the bike, which has been cool, but I need a little, like, I think even after coming back from Patagonia, like I'm really feeling like I need this big, I don't know, explosive situation to really put myself back into this role of a triathlete, which I've had for so long and I love. And I'm really excited for Oceanside and all the people that we're going to see. And so if you're going to be in Oceanside, please let us know. We'll be doing some things prior to that. And we'll make sure that you're in the know on those things if you want to be a part of the community.
Yeah. If it's your first time coming out to Oceanside, let us know. We know the course well. I've done it a few times now. Run the course all the time on training runs. So yeah, hit us up. We're literally just down the street from the race course.
Okay. Somebody who's listening to this, it's their first Oceanside, whether it's their first 70.3 that is, as Tony Soprano would say, irregardless, what advice would you have for them for this race? Just first thing that comes to mind.
First thing is, take it easy on the bike. Those hills are pretty brutal if you go out too hot. Yeah. And you'll finish them at about, I don't know, 40 miles, 42, 43 miles into the race. And then it's all, you know, you'll cruise back into town. I should cruise lightly because it is a nice flatter stretch, but you're definitely can be exposed to the wind. And it just seems like a false flat and you want to get off that bike. But yeah, don't go out too hot because the first part of the bike is flat as well, or rolling kind of flat. But you get to those hills, there's three of them. One that's really big, I think gets up to like 14% at the very top. So yeah, you would definitely want to dole out your effort accordingly, because then you get to the run, and the run is kind of punchy, has punchy hills, and there's a lot of concrete that you're running on. So it's an awesome course, lots to do. Just be cautious of that bike. What about you?
I would say really tend to that nutrition on the bike so that you're going to hit those hills, which are magnificent. There's nothing to dread at all. They are so fun. You see that big one from a little ways out and it's just, she's so magnificent. So just honor her. Like it's an incredible climb. But after you hit those hills and you've got that stretch back into town, you're going to need power. You're going to need your strength because you're 100% going to have breeze coming in off the ocean. And so you're going to be going into the wind and you want to have your coffers filled as best as you can in a space that will still allow you to run without that distress in the GI tract. So you don't want to be feeling, you know, like trying to make up for things because you weren't fueling early in the bike. So, you know, something I learned so long ago is you get out of that swim, you get on that bike, start like fuel right away. Cause you've just expended so much energy on the swim, and fingers crossed, it'll be an ocean swim. So you'll really be able to experience that ocean. And, that's going to, you're going to be expending calories doing that. So really be dialed in on your nutrition so that it doesn't have to be such an effort to be fueling, because you're going to want to be as strong as you can be coming off that last 10 miles of the bike onto the run and not have that suck, you know, your run speed away. Or even your mental, like that's a place I think too, where people can mentally just fall. Because like you said, it feels like you're kind of going uphill, but it's really because you're getting pushed back by the ocean.
And that deceiving, that nutrition element is deceiving because it's chilly in the morning. It's pretty cold. So expect it to be cold in the morning, chilly, and you don't feel like you need to fuel. You know, you can kind of bypass it, but you really need to fuel. Maybe you dial it back just a tad bit, but you need that fuel for sure.
Yeah, you're not going to want, if it's chilly, you're not going to want to take in fuel. So you need to use your will and need to rehearse this in your mind and get this rote, you know, so it's not such an effort, because even having your fueling regimen be an effort on race day is also an energetic drain. So get this stuff practiced up. You still have some time. Get it all practiced up, dialed in, and you'll do great. And I'll be there on the sidelines cheering you all on. And I can't wait. I love that part of it. I really, like, that is something that just fills me up so much, is to be out there and just enjoying everyone doing something that is not easy. But, you know, why do something that's easy? Like, just push your limits in this life. Just always push your limits in this life. Yeah.
That's good advice. Oceanside's a great way to start.
Yeah, Oceanside's really great. So like good job, Team Yogi Triathlete. My teammate, Brendan, who's coming out here to push his limits at his first 70.3. So cool. This is a great course for him. It's really going to, it's going to push him. He's going to see where, you know, his limitations are, but I know him. He's a very old soul and, been to several of our yoga retreats in Rhode Island and always open to growth. And so, he's going to get it. Like, he's going to get the growth. Yeah, he's going to get it. He might get it a little too. You're going to get it. Yeah.
All right. So do we want to talk about where you've been
the past
10 days while I was here holding down the fort?
Thank you.
Yes.
By the way, I was,
Clark and I,
not in touch a lot.
No, you were literally away.
I know. And I appreciate more than you know, in this relationship, the freedom that I have to go and go far away and not have to worry about you thinking that I'm leaving you behind or that you need to go with me. That I think we were talking about it last night as we were walking on the beach. Like, I don't know if that was just something we had from the beginning, but, I need that so much to be who I am. I need that so much. And so thank you. Thank you for running the business. Thank you for everything you did to keep things cohesive. And it was like, it was you, but it was like my whole family too. Like everybody just, such a gift. Everyone just stepped back and stepped away from me and allowed me to have an experience. And I'm just incredibly grateful for that. So thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. I've had practice with it. I think early on when you went to India and we were living in Boulder, I think that was the first experience, I think, where we just weren't in touch for a long time. Not just the flight, but the whole time you were there. I can't remember us even messaging or.
I remember one night in an internet cafe in Dharamsala, and I remember calling you. And this was so long ago, right? I remember calling you, and it was It was this moment of recognition for me where I was like, it had nothing to do with you, but I was like, I didn't want to leave. And you were on the other end of the phone going, I can't wait for you to come home. And it was just this interesting thing. And just being able to honor where I was, like, I didn't want to leave. And also honoring you, right? Like you're at home and you're doing the thing and you don't know what I'm experiencing over there. And, but that's it. Like, that's, I don't know. It's like, you gotta be you and I have to be me. And that's why this works.
Yeah. And I think having those experiences lay the foundation for what comes in the future or the relationship to what happens in the future, like this trip, or even when I ventured off to go to Ironman Wisconsin by myself, like a full Ironman, just flying in, doing the whole thing. So and that's something I probably wouldn't have done, you know, before I met you. So it's like this whole exploration of, well, this scares me. I really got to take a look at it. It's uncomfortable, but I need to keep moving forward. I know this is in my best interest. And then you get to the other side of it, and then there's another one and another one and another one. And then it becomes routine. Like you're saying, routine, you going away. It's important to you to do that. It's important for me that it's important to you that you go and have those experiences. So we got to feed each other's desire to pursue what's placed upon our hearts. And when you do that, there's an understanding that, yeah, it's going to get uncomfortable or tough at times, but it's also going to be rewarding and joyful and powerful. Like the power that you gain, that you can make these trips and adventures by yourself and know that everything's okay. And on my side, to know that I'm here with Clark running the show and it's okay where you are, like you're safe, not always checking my phone, or like, I just trust. And I think that's what it comes down to. When we were walking on the beach last night, yeah, I couldn't remember, like, did we have a handshake agreement? It was like, this is what we're going to do. You do your thing. I do my thing. It's cool. I just feel like, number one, we were brought up with pretty amazing families and parents and structure, a really, really powerful, faithful based trusting humans. And I think that trickled down to us and has allowed us to then take that into our lives and fully live what we were brought up living. And then we can take it into our own lives. And that's what we did. Like, I trust you're okay. And I know that you trust that I'm okay. And that we need to do our own things, but we come together most often.
Yeah. And trusting also that, you know, things might not always be okay.
Right.
You know, but not trying to reel the other one in out of a fear of what if.
Never.
Cannot live that way.
Nope.
And I cannot dim this light, and you now can't dim yours, which is so cool to see. And our conversations are different now. Like, you're just excited for me, and there's no pressure for me to check in. There's just no pressure. I mean, you know, I went to a place where I had to get like remote evacuation insurance, and I don't feel any pressure to check in with you at all. And, you know, maybe somebody says, well, that's selfish, it's this or that. And I don't know. I mean, I don't think we know until we walk in another's shoes what feels right and what doesn't feel right. So there is no right or wrong way to do this. This is just how you and I have evolved over decades, you know. Decades.
Well, and we've talked about this before, but having those open and uncomfortable conversations be a part of how we live and not let them be something that we push aside or stuff down. Like, have those conversations.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think we've both stuffed things down, you know, throughout our lives, and you know how that ends. It ends in resentment, in anger, in dis-ease.
Dis-ease. Mm-hmm.
And if we don't tend to that dis-ease, it will become disease. And I'm not interested in that. I'd much rather have an awkward conversation. And who knows what's in store for me down the line. I don't know, you know, I don't know.
Well, tell us about this trip. Tell us what, because it seems like it profoundly impacted you. Mm. And you're settling yourself back into, we'll call it, the real world.
It hasn't been an easy transition, I'll tell you. And we had a conversation with our teacher this morning, our meditation teacher, and it really helped. It really helped me understand that I was in a place where there wasn't a lot of people and nature was Patagonia. I was in Patagonia, Chile, and nature was just incredibly abundant. I don't even know. I mean, words just seem so foolish, right? To even try and describe this, but the nature was, this environment was much stronger than my will. Okay. So environment stronger than your will. So this environment was so strong in nature and less strong in the collective human mind, you know, right? Like, so where we live here in Southern California is beautiful. It's like paradise. It's wonderful. But we still are surrounded by, what is there, like over 100,000 people in Carlsbad who are, you know, making car payments and running late for appointments and, you know, trying to figure out how they're going to buy a house and raise their kids. And so you've got this these collective thought forms. Thoughts are just energy, right? And they're just kind of always moving around. And then whatever your attraction point is, whatever frequency that you're vibrating at in a moment, this might be too much, I don't know, but those thoughts are basically attracted to you, right? So that was very small, if at any, in this environment. So what it lended to was just nature's ability or nature's like demeanor to give, like give me oxygen, give me abundance, give me space, give me non-resistant change, give me warmth, give me, it just gives, it gives, it gives, it gives, it gives, it gives. When we come back to the material world, America, let's just say United States is like, we're materialistic. I am materialistic. I love this meditation pillow I'm sitting on right now. And the material world is always pulling at us. And so what I experienced when I was in Patagonia was like the things that I think about on a daily basis, the business, the bank account, you know, I don't know. Am I good enough? Am I doing enough training, running? Am I ever going to get back to running? Is this bone going to heal in my foot? I didn't have any of it. And it wasn't because there was an effort there to let any of that go. I don't know when I realized it, but it was like, I just realized that there was this natural freedom that came with being in this space that I have never experienced before. So we've talked about Costa Rica, right? And like, I remember the first time I came back and we talked about it, it was like the most vibrant land I've ever walked on. And, you know, when you get behind those gates of blue spirit, it's like, it really is paradise. But you're also surrounded by Nosara and all these other towns and people's collective thought forms. Well, that was all removed. We had a small group of us. There were seven of us yogis. And then we had our guides from Earth River Expeditions that partner with the Travel Yogi. And they took incredible care of us for the whole week. And it was a very small collective of people who meshed really, really well together. We became family very quickly. And so it was interesting. So it was, I've had a lot of stress and a lot of things that I've been dealing with since the beginning of December. And it's with my my parents, you know, just getting to this place where they need to be cared for. And I have an amazing sister and brother, and we've come together as such a team. But it's been a lot. It's been a lot. And I think I've been holding a lot, which I can do because I'm very strong. And so being there and having, I didn't even like really think about anything that I've been carrying. And it just was this incredible gift, just this cleansing. And then just a lot of letting go. Like towards the end of the trip really just allowed me to kind of let go of a lot of emotion, which has been amazing. So I felt like it was this most beautiful just shower of love that I experienced over this week, this past week. Yeah, that was a lot, but I didn't realize how much I'd been carrying.
What's one of the particular things that have been challenging since you've been back in the 48 hours?
Oh, since I've been back. yeah, just letting go. Just letting go. Letting go of the people there and friends that we made, and letting go of that environment where there is so much peace. And then I don't know what, walking back into this beautiful life, like, you know, this is not a problem, but I'm also really, allowing myself to have that space, and just kind of laughing at myself yesterday, like just, it was kind of just walking in circles. Like, just, I did get a couple things done, but just giving myself that space of like letting go of that. This is the beautiful life I've created, and being in Patagonia is a part of that beautiful life that I created, and meeting these new friends is a part of the beautiful life that I've created. And I've done a lot of things wrong, and I've done a lot of things right. And I think that's why, I ended up being able to celebrate my birthday there. And, yeah, it's been difficult stepping back into my list of all the stuff that needs to get done. And that part that just wants to be, you know, floating on the really calm waters in between the rapids. Isn't that what we always want? Don't we always like those days that feel like days off? Don't we always just want to stay there? Don't we always want, you know, the peaceful times and the easy times to be there?
So how do you, as a seasoned, aware or awakened human, how do you balance that desire to only have peace and calm when you're in Patagonia, and like tempering that desire to, well, I'll be peace and calm again when I get back to Patagonia. Right now I got to do my to-do list. How do you use tools to say like, well, I can find peace and calm in some element of what I'm doing throughout the day. This list is just a part of it. And yet it's not Patagonia, but I can find some semblance of it here. How do you, versus the person who's like, I can't wait to get calm and peaceful again when I get back to Patagonia.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, that experience is a part of me now. Every one of those people that I met, spent time with, had beautiful times. And that's all a part of me now. So I get to absorb that, you know, that energy is within me. And memory is so beautiful too, when we can use it in a way that that enhances our life. And I remember one day in particular, just sitting out on the porch. This was the first place that we stayed on this lake. And I actually think it was my birthday. And we actually had like the day off. We could kind of do whatever. And there were so many things to do, but something was telling me to just keep my feet on the ground and just kind of take it easy. And I was sitting on the porch and looking at these beautiful peaks and realizing that every time I like gazed up at them, I was like seeing something different, you know? And I just stared for, I don't know, a very long time. And I remember thinking in my mind in that moment of like, that this is all settling into, you know, images in my mind, that I cannot just recall the images, but like the feeling that I have right now. And to be quite honest, it's the same feeling. I recognize it's the same feeling that I feel when I'm sitting here in this house and meditating, or lying down to go to bed at night, that it was maybe more prevalent because the environment was so peaceful, but it's the same peace that I experience often. And to think that I'm going to go from somewhere like that back into my life and the hustle and bustle of the USA, you know, to think that I'm not going to have some turbulence is, It's not logical. Of course I'm going to have turbulence. So the idea or the concept or the process of what I do is I just have grace for myself and I just watch myself go through it and I see the clinging. I feel it in my heart. Like there's literally a piece of me that's still there and just let it be there. And maybe it's not there. Maybe that's with me here, that there's this exchange and it's not Patagonia that made me feel peace. It's just, boy, did it bring out so much peace because the distraction and the pressures of life were not there at all. And it's easy for me to say, you know, I've never experienced that before, but I know I've experienced that before. I've experienced it in Costa Rica. I experienced it in Temecula, California at the Women's Wellness Retreat. That peace is always with me. And I didn't leave my home to go to Chile. I was at home in Chile. Like I was home. I am my own home. So, you know, sometimes the earth is going to quake under me and it's going to feel turbulent and that's all a part of it. And so it's, I guess, acceptance that some days it's going to feel like you're in, you know, the rapids and some moments it's going to feel like you're just coasting in between those with just this pristine silence and peace. So it's always within me, but you know, the world shakes a little bit. And in those moments, I can remember the peace. If I don't get too caught up in the thoughts, sometimes I'll get caught up in the thoughts. Yeah. Does that answer the question?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you mentioned the rapids. So let's shift to like, what are some of these adventures you're talking about? Like, it sounds like you're on the river.
Yeah, we're on the river, the Futaleufú. And we're on some of the tributaries. We did rafting and really cool. The way these guys know what they're doing. First of all, they've been on the river for a very long time.
They're guides. Yeah,
Earth River expeditions. And I mean, you can even just, I don't know. They've got something that's very different. Is that the ratio of guides to guests and the safety that they provide for you. They actually have these like safety cataracts that they're always, you know, they're pretty much up ahead and like they're ready. They are always ready to keep us safe. Like we just felt so cared for. But the river is amazing. And when you're in the rapids, it's pure presence because I couldn't figure out what the flow was. You know, it's just chaotic and powerful and gorgeous and all these different colors. And there's this one section where there's just almost like this gorgeous ocean wave where it just keeps going. Like it just keeps going because it's whatever's happening underneath the water, right, is creating this beautiful wave. And then there's like holes and there's, you know, then there's the confluence of the tributaries to the food and to the Futa. And yeah, it's so much. But the thing that, I guess the one longing that I had was like, I would love to be able to see it through the eyes of these guides who are so, they're just masters and they're understanding, you know, how the river works and also respecting that it's different in each moment. And so sometimes we were approaching a rapid and we would always pull aside into an eddy and, okay, well, I think we're going to do this. We're going to hit it through the center and we're going to pull to the right and then we're going to cross back over, right? And then, but it's always, what I love so much about it, it's like always in the moment are those decisions actually really being made for the enjoyment of the ride, also the safety of the guests, dependent on, you know, how are we all paddling? Are we paddling well? And, yeah, it's just, that was the one longing I had was like, oh, it'd be so amazing to just see it through their eyes, like their eyes of experience and their eyes of knowledge. And there's so much that I can see through my experience and knowledge in life, but I felt myself really wanting that, And then we did kayaking. I think kayaking might have been, well, the thing was, I was just like, every day is my favorite day. And that's the truth. Every day was my favorite day. Every day was my favorite day. But I loved the kayaking. It was super fun. And perhaps it's because I was in the boat by myself, which I love that, just to be by myself, doing my own thing, having it be my own strength and my own navigation. And so we kayaked, we did a little bit of biking one day, and then we did, one day we did a hike up to Lago Obsession, which is this heart-shaped lake at the base of this incredible glacier. And so it was like 3 miles. My Strava's all messed up because I had my watch on the wrong hand and it kept pausing, so I had to let go of that. But it was like 3 miles, 3,000 feet of climbing. And when you got to the top, like to the top portion of it, there were some ropes that you had to use to get up. And I love all that stuff. And we got up to the lake and it was just stunning. It's like beyond words. So it was like hiking and rafting and kayaking. And they had stand-up paddle boards there and kayaks, but to be quite honest, we were just like, I just want to sit here. You know, we didn't do any of that. And I had that moment of like, okay, are you going to walk away and be like, oh, you wish you did it? I was like, no, just be conscious in this choice right now. So, that it was just so stunning. It was so beautiful. The water was freezing, but it was so clear, you know, it just filled my water bottle up right out of the lake and drank it. And it was just the most gorgeous, clear water I've ever seen in my life. It's an incredible place. It's so untouched by man. It just is such an incredible reminder of the health that is here on this earth. And we can always do more for the health of our local environment. One thing that felt different from all the other places I've been to, Guatemala, Costa Rica, and again, this is the most remote place I've been, was just pristine. There was no trash. You know, we just walked on Carlsbad Beach last night and we were picking up little plastic caps and straws on the beach. And there was just none of that. There was none of that. And so it was this beautiful reminder of the health, of this earth, you know, and she's an organism that's living and we are her cells. And so are we cancerous cells or are we healthy cells? And, that's something to really look at in your life and just do the best you can. Because you know, it's hard to escape plastic, but just do the best you can and have some grace for yourself.
And doing the best you can. How about the food that was served up?
Yeah, the food, they did so great. I don't know if they've ever had vegans on the trip before, but they did so great. So the first night we were actually in Puerto Varas and we went out to dinner and you know, we went to this restaurant and they served us vegan. It was beautiful. I actually took a picture of it. It was this huge bowl of like couscous, vegetables, so good. And we had a glass of Chilean wine, which set the tone. We had a glass of Chilean wine like every night. It was so delicious. It really was. And yeah, they did great with the food. This food was made with love. And I ate it and I just felt like everything was a blessing that went into my body. Everything was a blessing. One of the guides, his name is Teal, and Teal's girlfriend is a baker and she made her first vegan cake for my birthday, which was incredible, which we then ate for breakfast the next day and finished it off the next night. And then there was two other birthdays that happened on the trip. So more cake. We ate so much cake on this trip, but it was interesting. When we talked to Bob this morning and he was like, that makes sense. He's like, you know, you're craving the sweetness because you're fire and that sweetness is good. So I was like, oh, that's good. So we had a lot of cake, a lot of dessert. The first like 3 nights when we were in Patagonia, the crew cooks for us, the guides cook for us, which was like incredible. I mean, they cooked us breakfast. They made us lunch. And it wasn't like we would pull the raft over, pull the kayaks over, and they would just pull out like sandwiches from the market. Like they would set up a table and they were like carving out avocados and they had like full scallions and they would make these gorgeous like bean salads or quinoa salads. They did so well. They were amazing. We were asking them, you know, like, well, what was, they were like, well, normally we'd throw like some meat in here or some chicken, but they did definitely like get us a lot of veggie burgers. Lots of veggie burgers. Oh, we have this and this, and there's some veggie burgers, of course. But yeah, the food was amazing. And then the last, second to last lodge we were at was the Payuma Lodge. And that was at the base of this hiking trail, which brought us up to Lago Obsession. And they had a whole staff there. And when you see the woman and the staff come out of the kitchen and they're just so excited about the food that they've created for you, and everything is made from scratch. Everything is made from scratch. Like, I just felt the love. Love is the highest vibration of all. So yeah, the food was fantastic. So many desserts. We had a lot of desserts, a lot of desserts, a lot of cake. It was good.
Yeah, the feedback that you provided, you know, when just in the car ride after picking you up from the airport, just sounded so life-changing. And also we had Melissa from the team with her partner Heather both on the trip. She was in Costa Rica with us too. Retreat life is so good, people.
Retreat life is so good. Whether it's a yoga adventure or Costa Rica and you're meditating a lot, retreat life is so good.
So you had hesitation, though, when this first came about, you know, when this trip was handed over to you or asked if you wanted to take it over, and you still said yes.
Of course.
To be the retreat leader, of course. But in what was... What was involved in that decision process as quick as it was? What was it?
That when life gives you an opportunity like this, you do not say no. I mean, that's how simple it was. There was so much unknown but the decision was so easy and it was so quick and it was an absolute yes, because I could feel something really strong. It was like 9 months ago. And over this past 9 months, I've had thoughts of like, well, maybe that strong feeling is like, this is it. Like, I'm going to die there. You know, and be okay with that. And maybe it's that I'm going to go there and I'm going to discover something about myself, or I'm going to, I don't know, learn and grow and really enjoy myself. Okay, well, that's good too. Like, whatever it is, I'm willing to walk what I need to walk in order to fulfill what I'm here to fulfill. And I don't know, today could be the last day of my life. I don't know that. So whether I'm doing that in Carlsbad or I'm doing that on the Fuda, it's still life. And it's always going to call you to more if you're open to it. And I think we all get callings. I know that we don't all answer them. And I understand that it's not easy to answer them because there's so much unknown. And so, yeah, I did have thoughts of like, well, maybe I just could feel it. It was so strong and it just built and built and built and built and built. And I, you know, the answer was already yes, and I wasn't going to back out. And so it was titrating between like, this is going to be the adventure of a lifetime, or this could be the end of your lifetime. And I just kept focusing on, you know, the moment that I was in and letting whatever came up come up and just watching what I was indulging. And fear is not something that I've learned over the years through practice not to indulge it, but also how dangerous it is to indulge it. Because it it's a magnet, and, it draws in the very thing you fear, or it's equal.
So if you keep feeding fear, right? Because we are what we repeatedly do. If you want to look at it, or what we focus on expands, however you want to word it, that will always continue to grow and expand until you welcome in the unknown, which is the place that you're in now. You have a relationship with the unknown. It's not immediately scary. It's, well, what's on the other side of this? There's something there. And you alluded to it, or you mentioned it, when you were talking about even after you made the choice, and this is what a lot of people bump up against as well, when they finally make that choice to overcome the fear or make the decision to do the thing that they've always said no to, that's not the end of the process. there's the thoughts that flood in and the details that flood in afterwards. How am I going to get there? How long is the flight? Will I have the funds? Who are the people on me? What if we miss a flight? Is my passport up to date? Like, what kind of food? Like, this list constantly builds and builds and builds. So this is a process of moving through, we'll call them fears, challenges. It's a process and it takes time. So the first step is get really aware of what it is that you are shying away from, that you always say no to. Begin to say yes, and then work through all the thoughts that you share that you were having even after you made the decision. And then come out the other side of it with this clarity that you want more peace, more tranquility in your life, and understand that you are that already.
And not be trying to figure out the why. And when you release the need to know why, everything just expands. So some of the whys became very obvious, and others just are, I'm unable to articulate them. But there were whys of why I was drawn there. And the calling was very strong. And I had to say yes, because saying no to something like that feels like just an assault on who I am. But if you look, really look, every day is unknown. And even though we think we know how it's going to go, we don't. And so it just starts with being curious. And I remember one of the inquiries we played around with in yoga teacher training so many years ago was like, just this inquiry of like, I wonder what my next thought will be. And when you do that, you actually put yourself into this space of no thought for a moment. And when you're in that space of no thought, you're just in presence. And so that's truly how you navigate all of those things that come up. And, you know, now that the trip's done, right? Like now the students that I was teaching, the guests are going to get evaluations. And I had this thought of like, oh my God, what if my evaluations are bad? Like, what if they don't? What if they hated me? Which I don't think they did, because we bonded really well, but that my perfectionism comes up. Oh my gosh, I could have done better. I could have done better. I should have done this. I should not have done this. And watching all of that. And so when we look, we see this like very regular menu of responses that we have to life, whether that is going to a party where we don't know anyone, or presenting at work, or going to Patagonia. If you look at what your menu of responses to life, you'll see that the locked and loaded responses are always the same, but being able to see it is a great opportunity to see if you need to update something on your menu. And you begin that update through this presence. I wonder what my next thought will be. That puts you into this state of curiosity. So that's the state of wonder and curiosity that I would pop myself into over those 9 months of like, well, what if, and then it, like, okay, I agreed to it. And then I started getting pumped about it. And then I was like, what if nobody signs up? Right. And then it's like, oh no, the very thing that I was like, oh, I'm not going to do it. Or because I looked at Patagonia when I was choosing, I initially chose Galapagos Islands. And then it came back to me, you know, how quickly we get attached to it. I was like, oh my God, what? Like now I'm really attached to going. What if nobody signs up? And of course, and then I was like, well, that's not helpful. Right. Cause there's a fear. So what do? You focus on what you do want. Want to go forward with this. And also trust. That's the only reason we fear, is because we don't trust.
Yeah. As you know, I've been binging Eckhart Tolle, and
I knew I was going to come home to some kind of new binge.
Well, the power of now is what you're talking about, being present. And he talks about, if you've ever listened to him, he pauses so much. But what he's doing, and he shared that on this particular video, was that he's waiting for the next thought to come in of what he's going to share. So he's sitting in that stillness, which to the outside observer would be like, well, that seems uncomfortable. Like, it doesn't know what to say. Well, they're not pre-programmed. They're not on a script. It's letting the thought channel in and then act on the thought. And maybe there's a few thoughts that come in and the mind's able to sift and sort through a few of them before it's like, turns the page. It's like, that's the one I want to convey. And then the message is spoken. So it's like that constant practice of being in the now, which yoga teacher training with Live, Love, Teach reinforced with us during those 2 weeks. Or did you go 3 weeks?
I know for no, me, dude, it was 2 weeks. I went like 200 hours in like 12 days or something like that. It was like
track.
7 in the morning to like 9 o'clock at night. It was so intense.
But that's such a powerful practice to be standing in the unknown, be up in front of people and not know what you're going to say and just wait for it to be given to you. Because it's there. The message is there. It's just we clutter it with the thoughts. And we just keep the thoughts that we keep thinking about all the time that we want to change so much, but we just can't get off that pattern. So you got to interrupt that pattern. And I think this, Patagonia is a perfect example of environment stronger than your will, putting yourself in an environment where there isn't that much noise and get really curious about the quiet, the tranquility, the stillness. And then now they have a taste of it. Bring it back. When the challenges arise, when you get back into your routine, how do you begin to change that? Even if it's just one small change. I think that's why retreat life is so good. Like you feel so good. You feel alive. You feel connected with nature. You feel connected with community. Why? Because everybody is drinking the same Kool-Aid. It's a safe environment.
Yeah, like we were the only people on Earth for a week.
The bottom of the earth.
Yeah. I know. I told you, I said, I think I have a favorite new country.
So will you go back?
I hope that I am in, I don't hope. I intend that I'll be invited to lead again. And yeah, I mean, so I was even thinking like, okay, well, if I do it in February next year, it'll be less than a year. I'll only have to wait less than a year. I really, in my heart, I really am holding the intention that it came through well and it will be received well. And that the travel yogi asks me to lead again. And, and then we'll go from there. That's my intention. But just to speak a little bit about the travel yogi, Jen, who is the owner, I think it was like, a week before I was like, should we get on the phone? Like, do I need to know anything? And she was so wonderful. They're so wonderful. She's so wonderful. And, just really like, kind of like chill and grounded, really knows her stuff. And I remember getting on the phone with her before I left, it was like a week before I left. And she was just like, it's all set. Go enjoy yourself. You're going to have a wonderful trip. She's like, the teams are ready to mobilize. Like everything's all set for you. You're going to get off the plane. There's going to be a guy there. He was travel yogi sign, boom, right into the car. Got to the hotel. Maria, who was our point of contact in Puerto Varas, she was there. Like, okay, we're going to meet at 6. We're going to go walk into town, have dinner. Next day, took us to the airport. She said, I'll see you in a week. Got off the airplane in Chaitén. And then there was Ty, who was one of the Earth River guys. And he was he's this like 6'4 guy. Like he's kind of leaning up against the wall, like this tall drink of water. Like, you guys going rafting? And I was like, all right, this is going to work. Let's do this. And drove 3 hours into Patagonia to the Foo. We're on the river that day. Met the rest of the crew. Teal and Cade was kind of like our main guide and my point of contact for, okay, we're going to do yoga here. Let's do dinner at this time, which was incredible to work with him. And then, Umberto and Tommy, who we saw at the beginning and the end, meeting these guys and spending time with them. And they were just so incredible. And this trip is just down. Like it's just, it's rote, it's down, it's so perfected. And then within that regularity of what they offer, they just catered to our individual needs so beautifully. The accommodations were unreal, just so gorgeous. I would say some of the nicest accommodations I've stayed in, comfortable, the most comfortable beds. Every place was this incredibly comfortable bed and this incredibly comfortable pillow. If you're one of those people that's like needs to travel with the pillow, you don't need to travel with your pillow. They would set the fire for me every night so that when I went into the lodge, the first place that we stayed, I could just set the fires and that would warm the room for our yoga. And, you know, sometimes we played music at night and Ty, one of the guy that picked us up at the airport, he like brought out his guitar. He's with a gorgeous voice. He was like singing for us. It was just crazy. We're like, okay, this is amazing. So Travel Yogi, kudos to a exceptional curation of an experience that has left a massive impact on the lives of everyone who endeavored this trip. And I can speak for the entire group when I say that, you know, our minds were blown every day and that we feel blessed and our hearts are just full of gratitude. So I cannot wait to go to the Galapagos Islands in June and to Sicily at the end of September.
Both of those are Travel Yogi.
Both of those are Travel Yogi. Mm-hmm.
And that's it for the year for now?
Right now, there's something brewing at the end of the year, and then we'll be here in the States. And it's actually with myself and somebody new that this audience knows about. She's been on the podcast, but I think we're brewing something up, a small thing at the end of the year. And then with Valerie and Megan, we're looking at Costa Rica 2025.
All right.
Yeah.
So exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. So Galapagos is a waitlist situation. It's sold out right now, but you can put your name on the wait list and Sicily is open. So
when is Sicily again?
September 28th to October 5th.
All right.
That's going to be insane.
Get to Italy.
It's incredible.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. You're doing a lot. We're doing a lot. Yogi Triathlete is building an empire of, of endurance wellness, in many different forms. And, if you're curious about that, let us know. We'd be happy to guide you through whatever it is you're working through. And if you want to have a conversation with us, let us know. Things like retreats and camps and races. And, you know, we're going to be at a lot. As Jess mentioned, she's traveling to all these wonderful locations for retreat, but we'll also be local at races, triathlon races and trail running races. So reach out to us. Let us know if you're going to be at a race, maybe we'll be there, and we'll always be posting on our socials as to where we will be. So don't hesitate to reach out. And if you're not going to be at a race and you just want to connect with us, send us a message. We'd love to connect with you.
Yeah. Thank you all for tuning in, for giving your time to absorbing the show. And yeah, we'll see you next month.
Ciao.